Hashem Adonai, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with the love of my life and Bible teacher, Reverend Sheeta Crawford.
Shalom and bless you all as we continue to study the letter to the church at Thyatira. And remember, Revelation is the only book of the Bible that promises an extra blessing when you study it. And all past programs are archived on shofarministries.net. So, honey, let's praise the Lord.
Abba, Father, we do praise and thank you for the opportunity to proclaim your truth over the airwaves for these many years. May your Holy Spirit guide us again tonight, and please draw those in our families who still have not made you their personal Lord to submit to you totally in all areas of their lives. We also ask that you pull the other foot out of the world of those who struggle with habitual sins. We pray for this program's financial needs and for others who are struggling monetarily, for you are our provider. We also pray for these recent prayer requests, and dear Lord, have mercy on us all. We ask in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
So, much going on?
Yeah, you think? We all see lawlessness continuing to abound, and the corruption of our leaders is breathtaking. And what those five policemen did to that young man was horrendous.
And demonic.
And really scars the many good police while giving rioters like Antifa a reason to rile up the people. And a great excuse to federalize our police and bring in the UN.
Oh, it's coming.
Part of the Great Reset.
Yep.
And finally, a Pfizer executive was caught telling the truth and giving up their secrets of corruption while on what he thought was a gay blind date. But it was really Project Veritas. He actually said that Pfizer is mutating more viruses to keep fueling its vaccine cash cow.
Those were his words, cash cow.
Mm-hmm. Only Tucker Carlson reported on this because Pfizer, as we all know, has paid off the mainstream media because they're their biggest advertiser. However, the Global Times, which is China-affiliated, did write an article asking why are U.S. media outlets and politicians ignoring this report. What's also as crazy is just the day before this Pfizer bomb, Newspunch.com reported that Bill Gates warned that the next pandemic is likely to be man-made and much more brutal than COVID. You know, they just don't care what they say.
Well, because they know they can.
Yeah. And there's still more. Bill Gates also claims he wants to improve the genetics of animals by injecting them with mRNA technology. So then we get to eat it. Oh, and the vegetables too.
Well, they gotta get that poisonous in us any way they can.
Depopulation.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that the World Economic Forum hires only unvaccinated pilots to fly their planes.
I'll bet they didn't get the vaccine.
Oh, and if they say they did, it was a placebo.
For sure.
Also, as the Bible prophesied, there will be a cashless society. And as so many other precursors, we are seeing the beginning of this as the government is close to going to CBDCs, which stands for Central Bank Digital Currency. Oh, but they say they will help everybody transfer to this digital currency in order to keep the economy going. But do admit, they will be able to track every purchase, and they're proud of it. And with CBDCs, the global government will be able to make the money disappear anytime they want and program the digital money so it can only be spent in certain places.
Oh, and also, they're giving it a time stamp,
which will cause it to reset to zero if not spent by a certain deadline.
So you can't save.
Right.
Again, all part of the Great Reset.
And on a global scale.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's been a number of attacks in Israel lately.
Yes, and Israel is responding. But just like over here, there are those who just keep stirring up trouble, as they do with the Palestinians, Palestinian Authority, the PLOs, Mahmoud Abbas, who wants to destabilize the Israeli government, and of course cause riots.
And it's been going on for decades.
Yeah, I remember Yasser Arafat before him.
Mm-hmm.
But let's leave you all with some good news. There are thousands of Palestinians who want to get along with the Jews, and in fact, approximately right now, 50,000 or more Palestinians are presently employed by Jewish-run companies in the West Bank.
Judea and Samaria.
And are being paid a very good wage. And it's improved a lot since the Abraham Accords, which means Daniel 9:27 has a definite foundation going on here.
And that is exciting.
Very.
Okay, you can send your end time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please consider a love offering, and we'll be sure to add you to our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministry.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning. All right, well, we've been on an interesting journey.
Especially if you like church history. For when you dig, it is intriguing. So we studied chapter 1, the introduction, and how Jesus describes himself 24 different descriptive ways in very vivid titles, and then uses one of these titles in each of his opening remarks to his seven churches, which then gives you a hint of how he feels about each church. Remember, taken in the order it is written gives us a prophetic outline of the church era from beginning to this present time.
In chapter 2, Jesus is speaking to the first believers of Ephesus,
who started out enthusiastically and on fire, but over the years lost their first love of passion and intimacy. By the way, as in all the letters, this certainly has a personal, like to you and me, application as well. Then around 100 AD comes Smyrna, where the believers were surrounded by paganism, where the Christians were extremely persecuted by the Roman emperors. And Jesus in this letter told them to overcome by remaining faithful to the end and would not be hurt by the second death. Now remember, an overcomer, according to scripture in John, 1 John 5:5, is anyone who stands firm in his belief that Jesus is Lord, even though by doing so, many were martyred.
But they did overcome by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen to that. And then around 312 AD to about 606 came the Pergamos church, meaning mixed marriage, who married the world by actually welcoming paganism.
Thank you, Emperor Constantine.
Yeah, who, although he stopped the persecution and made Christianity the state's religion, however, he also remained faithful to paganism with its false teachings and idol worship. Hence the meaning mixed marriage. And now it's gaining strength as far as the doctrine of the Nicolaitans.
Meaning to rule over the people.
Mm-hmm. Pergamos was the transition era leading into the Church of Thyatira and the Dark Ages. So we'll continue and spend a little more time in Thyatira because unlike the other churches, which prophetically are past tense, Thyatira is meant to characterize the Catholic Church, which is still here today.
And still flourishing.
Yes, in spite of its heresies that Pope Francis excels in. But we ran out of time last week, so couldn't read it in context, which we're going to do right now. And then I'll make appropriate comments as needed. Oh, but first, we must also make something very clear. There are true Christians in the Catholic Church, or it would not be included in these letters.
But he does call them to repent.
And in Revelation 18, when it's the main representation of the one world church during the tribulation, Mystery Babylon, he says to come out of her before you share in her sins and her plagues. And although he's speaking to those who would be a tribulation saint, it certainly applies today as well. And remember, each church has a personal or a one-on-one application. Okay, chapter 2, verse 18.
And to the angel,
which is a messenger
of the church in Thyatira, write, these things, says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass.
Again, we can glean much from the title Jesus chose to use for this church, which certainly has a judgmental flair to it.
I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first.
So they were increasing in good works. Verse 20.
Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel.
And you can read about her in 1 Kings 21. Obviously, they had the same Jezebel spirit.
Who calls herself a prophetess to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immoralities and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent.
So they tolerated habitual sin, especially sexual immorality, and still do. In fact, earlier this month, Pope Francis said, it's okay to be a homosexual. And then he cloaked it with his heresy that we're all God's children. And that's anti-biblical. Verse 22.
Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your works.
Okay, so he's speaking to those who will not repent, the unsaved, who will be judged for damnation according to their deeds. In other words, Hitler will have a stronger degree of hell than your unsaved neighbor next door. This occurs at the great throne judgment of the unrighteous at the end of the millennial kingdom. They will be judged as to what the books say they have done because they did not accept the free gift of salvation where Jesus paid for their sins on the cross. The unsaved instead will pay for their own sins.
So, you think there are different degrees of hell?
I do. Mm. And we have scripture to back that up, and we will revisit this topic when we get to Revelation 20. But in the meantime, for your home study, please read Matthew 23, especially verse 14, where Jesus tells the Pharisees that they will receive greater condemnation. Other scriptures are 2 Timothy 4:14, 2 Corinthians 11, 15, and in the Old Testament as well, Proverbs 24:12. By the way, if one is saved, they will be rewarded according to what they have done to further the gospel when we are resurrected / raptured. So let's continue in verse 24.
Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine
of the Jezebel spirit,
who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come.
Talking about what stored rewards they do have, don't lose them.
And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations.
That's Yeshua.
Shall rule them with a rod of iron.
And that's just his scepter. It's not a crowbar.
They.
that's the unrighteous now,
shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father.
In other words, these are his Father's instructions. Verse 28.
And I will give him,
that's talking to the righteous,
the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Lucifer was once the morning star, but soon Jesus will give us the morning star. That means we will be very bright in the millennial kingdom. Let's confirm that in Daniel 12:3, where he's describing the righteous.
Those who are wise.
We become wise through his word.
Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who run, who turn many to the righteousness like the stars forever and ever.
So the more you witness, the brighter you're going to be. Just plain simple there. Okay, Thyatira does bring a real change of pace and is the first time of the seven churches that the tribulation is warned of. And terrible judgments are pronounced where the Lord assumes his supreme title, Son of God, with eyes of a flaming fire and feet like fine brass.
Meaning judgment.
Mm-hmm. These last four churches, beginning with Thyatira, are still here and will be till the end. Except for one of the four will be removed. Then those left behind will then join in the one world church called Mystery Babylon.
Or the great harlot who rides the beast, which is the one world government.
Oh yeah, they'll certainly be in tandem.
Thyatira means continual sacrifice,
which depicts the overplay of the daily mass. Again, the meaning of its name says a lot. The mass represents the denial of the completed work of Jesus Christ by symbolically re-sacrificing him at every mass through transubstantiation. I will now read to you about the Eucharist from their own Catholic encyclopedia. That's articles number 1374 and 1375. It states, in the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist, the body and blood, together with the soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore the whole Christ, is truly, really, and substantially contained. It is a substantial presence by which Christ, God, and man makes himself holy and entirely present. It is by the conversion of the bread and wine into Christ's body and blood that Christ becomes present in this sacrament.
That's false doctrine at its finest.
Yeah, sad. And let me add, I know some can probably relate to this, but when I was in Catholic grade school, taught by nuns in the 50s, we were not allowed to eat or drink anything, even water, after midnight, till the next morning after we went to Mass.
Had to be a lot of stinky breaths around there.
Jeez. Back then, only the priest could touch the host, for it was holier than us.
That's the deeds of the Nicolaitans.
Yes. The I am special syndrome, which Jesus said he hates, which is why in chapter 1, Jesus makes it known that now, because of him, we are all kings and priests. The same holds true with all their other sacraments, not just the Mass, like the last rites, confession, baptism, confirmation, anointing the sick, even exorcisms. Thyatira made Mary the Queen of Heaven, a title the pagans had given to the goddess Semiramis,
and declared her the mother of God the Father.
The Father. In other words, made her divine over God, and have never recanted that lie, declaring her without sin, and yet she herself recognized her need for a Savior in Matthew 1, verse 47. And Vatican II repeated that again, and that Mary was immaculately conceived by God and remained a virgin forever. Now, around the year 1000, the Eastern Orthodox officially separated themselves from Rome.
Partly because of the Second Commandment.
Right. They do not have statues, only paintings, and they wanted their own leader and are against any pope rule. By the way, Catholic Catechism removed the second commandment about not worshiping statues or bowing down to them, and instead made number 10 into two commandments, so to equal 10. And Article 2131 in their catechism says Jesus actually changed that. No, he just combined them all in Matthew 22. Still love God above all other gods, which includes not bowing down and praying to statues or anyone dead, by the way. Again, since they don't believe Jesus paid for all our sins, the Catholic Church instituted penance and fabricated purgatory and indulgences.
Time off in purgatory.
For money donated to the church with masses said in the deceased honor.
Or if you join the Crusaders, they would go straight to heaven.
Isn't that interesting that the Muslims believe that also? If they fight in a war called a jihad, they too would be assured of heaven. Does a red flag go up in your mind here? Just who really is the author of Islam? Don't they pray on beads and highly esteem Mary? Yeah, they do. And there are few very reliable whistleblowers and ex-Jesuit priests that insist the Vatican actually created Islam in order to have an undercover army to conquer Jerusalem. Their stories are really compelling. Chick Publishing wrote, and I believe to be authentic teachings on this, using mostly the testimony of the ex-Jesuit priest named Alberto Rivero. And you can find it on YouTube. Just put in his name. Anyhow, the Arabs fell victim to one of the most clever plans ever devised by the powers of darkness. The short of it is, a few popes way back around the 6th or 7th century, the Vatican, they began planting ideas to create a mighty army that would ultimately capture Jerusalem. And you know, the Vatican still wants to control Jerusalem today. And we know that the enemy also still wants God's treasured land, so he can sit in the temple and declare himself God. Anyhow, that eventually backfired on the Vatican because the Muslims increased and grew strong and turned on the Mother Church, for they too wanted Jerusalem for themselves. Therefore, the Pope assembled another army to fight the Muslims called the Crusaders. And along with much money, the men were promised heaven without purgatory if they would fight the Muslims for Jerusalem. After many years, in 1099, the Crusaders seized the Holy Land from the Muslims. However, 100 years later, just lost it back to the Muslims. And lots of turmoil went on during the Dark Ages and after. And we're out of time, but next week I will share some info on the founding of Rome, Italy, with the help from the writings of Gad and Jasher. And then we'll get into Sardis, the breakaway church. But I got to ask you, will you escape the awful tribulation that's coming upon the whole world? You know, Luke 21 says that anyone, because he died for the whole world, anyone can, with just a meaningful prayer, get saved and escape what's coming. Don't waste any more time, because time is short. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6:22. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that perfect shalom. So till next time, Sha'alu shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her shall prosper. And that's in every way possible, probably in ways that you don't even know. And maybe we'll find out at some point in time. Anyway, God bless till next time. That was Psalm 122, verse 6. Everyone should memorize that. God bless.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.